All right, I want to welcome everybody to this podcast today. We are here at Cross Culture Church. We're at our Tuesday noon Bible study, and we're in the book of Acts. We're in chapter 22. We've had an exciting time through this book, which is God's action book, the book of His Spirit moving about to establish the church and church leaders. We have come to understand that when you get empowered by the Spirit, things are going to change. Things are going to happen, and God is going to get the glory. Along with things that's going to happen, there will be persecution. There will be change. So we have to understand that when God makes a move, everybody's not in agreement to it, and there will be some resistance. But in the end, God is going to get the glory. So as we take that in mind, we're going to move right into chapter 22 and move into verse 1. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. I want us to keep in mind the words that are important here. One of them, and I'm sure you all have read it, one of them is defense. Yes. I love the fact that Paul was a defender of the gospel. And when you become a defender, I want us to understand that there's two viewpoints that are being talked about, debated, or discussed. So one thought pattern is going to be wrong, and the other thought pattern is going to be a correction to it. Okay? So here Paul is making a point, and we're going to get into that point. Verse 2, and when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept more of the silent, and he said in verse 3, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia. I always get these words tangled up here.
Y'all do.
Yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the who? Of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day. Now I know y'all ready. Let's get into it. Go ahead, Elder.
I found it interesting that Paul was once a persecutor of the church,
mm-hmm,
with the Jews, and now the Jews are persecuting him.
Right.
And it reminds me of, you're going to read what you sow, but I think it's because of who you are defending. You, like you said, defending the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're defending the faith, you're going to automatically have persecution. But I thought that was pretty interesting that he once was a persecutor, and now he's being persecuted for the way.
All right. Anybody else?
And they also could be upset because they could look at him as a Benedict Arnold.
Yeah.
You were once on our side, you know, persecuting the Christians for our sake, and now you didn't turn your back on the Jews, you know, your people.
That's a good point.
All right. Anybody else?
I have one more point.
Go ahead.
And Sister Ann brought this up last week. She said, why didn't the Jerusalem Council come to Paul's defense?
You know
what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
They didn't come to his defense.
Come on, everybody else? All right. Everybody's made some good points. I want you to look at it from this standpoint. If you know somebody that had been a drug addict. And they finally, after you have been witnessing to them, you know, if you knew somebody that was a drug addict and you have been involved in doing drugs with them, and they came back and told you that they had met God, that they had had a transformation in life, and when they saw you, they could tell that your countenance had changed, your manner of conversation had changed, would that not make an effect on you? Especially when
positively?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
No, the evidence is that God had made this change, because you're looking at the person who had been right there with you doing the drugs.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
You know, you could tell the last time y'all had to divide the bag up, and how y'all may have had to swindle somebody to get the money to get the bag. And, you know, you got all this story and this history together, how y'all had fun and reveled in it. And now all of a sudden you come in with a whole nother theme talking about how you can be delivered from this exact same thing that you all had such a good time doing. You mean all of a sudden the drugs are not important anymore? They don't, that getting loose and doing all that, that's not really what it's all about. And see, Paul is saying here, listen, I'm the man that I was right in here with you. I was zealous too. I had a bag. If I had a bag, you had a bag. But I'm just using it from that perspective. But I'm turning it to say, what greater witness could you have than this one who was zealous and who said, I knew something. I sat at the feet of one of the greatest who was prolific at that time. If you were studying up under him, you were considered
elite.
You were the top of the top if you got to sit. He was the professor. Everybody couldn't be in his class.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul was in his class, right? And not only that, Paul graduated high honors. He said, I was zealous about it. And y'all knew I was. But I'm telling you right now, that's not correct. So then when I started this out, I said, what about the defense? So you had one thing that looked good. You even had it rubber stamped by the highest of high. And Paul said, listen, I want y'all to understand, you can't say I don't know what I'm talking about. Right?
Right.
Because y'all know who I am. Y'all knew I was zealous for what I was doing. But this is the right way. And through the demonstration and the power, this is the proof, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, what does that do for our testimony?
Well, if we have the proof, like Paul did, the evidence, rather, I don't say proof, I say evidence.
Okay.
It validates the testimony.
Absolutely. So now there should be somebody in your life that now sees you and say, boy, God done, there is a God. I got some friends like that. They said there is a God. Cause boy, I didn't think you could ever get changed. But there is a way. Right?
Yeah.
So this is the way I want us to look at this. You know, when he says, I want you to hear my defense, he says, what's he doing? I'm going to present to you something that's going to change and direct your vote. Right? Because
mm-hmm.
they were all voting and going in one direction. He came out and defended his point of saying that is not it right now. It's all been changed because of who? Jesus Christ. Four. And I persecuted this what? This way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received what? Letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be what?
Punished.
Why were they being punished?
Because they were in the way.
Because they had an opposite opinion of what they believe to be truth. Right?
That's right.
Sinners do what sinners do because that's
what they believe.
That's their nature. Right? So when we come and present Christ to them, what are we doing? We're showing them that way that they're going is not the correct way, that this is the correct way. So we have a way, they have a way, but our way is better, right?
Right.
The true way?
True way.
The true way. And so is there's not anybody in here that was perfect from youth. Huh?
No.
Okay, so do we not have a testimony? Do we not have that ministry of reconciliation?
That's right.
Could you not just defend the gospel for your sake? Mm-hmm. See, I don't have to say I don't know about you. I say I know about me.
Right.
I know what he did for me.
Right.
I know when I was going this way and he came in, I went the other way. Because once the light came in and the Spirit of God came in, change took place.
We all have testimonies.
All.
And a lot of times, a lot of us can feel like our testimony is not significant because, quote unquote, we might have been what we call good people.
Goody two shoes.
Morally.
Okay.
In the eyes of society.
Okay.
But the testimony is always there. And so what we need to do, if we were, would you say goody two shoes?
Goody two shoes.
Ask God how to explain what he did helping you to become enlightened. Mm-hmm. That you still was on the way to destruction.
To hell.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to say hell.
I said it.
There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Y'all forgot that one,
right?
Yeah, but
y'all want to be politically correct today. Y'all don't.
Yeah, I'm good.
Do it. I know.
Because a lot of your friends probably were good at two shoes.
They were.
Mm-hmm. And so you can show, see, that's why you have to be able to show them that God shows you.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they don't think they messed up. They think they're good.
Boy, y'all, you just opened up something. Did y'all understand what he just said?
Yeah, he opened up something.
He did. I want you to think about this. What we are doing here is studying this is because we have been chosen. Before the foundations of the world, God knew all about now. And so we've been prepared for now. And what we're looking at here is one that was prepared for then.
Right.
Huh? Who else can you put in this situation that was trained and developed one way and then God turned him and then he got to be a defender? Anybody else in the Bible?
Not that significant.
Okay. Anybody close?
I would say David.
Moses.
Moses, David.
Moses, yeah.
Right? Was Moses not reared up in Pharaoh's house?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Did he not get the education training?
Mm-hmm.
And did God not tap him and say, hey, I got a job for you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we got the other instances, and this is what I want us to understand. Our testimony and the people that we run into, we have no idea whether they are a Moses, right? Whether they are a David,
right?
Whether they are a Paul, the biggest drug addict, the biggest thief, the biggest murderer, the biggest whoremonger. Have all the potential for having their life turned completely around, and God turned what looked like was all bad and then use it for his glory.
Can I read this scripture?
Read it.
This is in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. And Jesus says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep to the midst of wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles." The Gentiles could be the heathen.
Right.
"But when they deliver you up," this is the key, "do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak."
All right. Now, when he says given to you what to speak, is the word nigh thee? It said the word is nigh thee even in thy mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You have been given truth. You can sit at this table and say, "Well, if I got before a drug addict, I don't know really what I would say. If I got before an axe murderer, or if I was on death row talking to some people, what would I say?" You have something to say. We have to get out of ourselves and understand it's the Spirit of God that's going to bring out of us those things that are already there that God can use. It's not always this deep revelation. It's not always this truth that just wows everybody. But it's just that little bit of thing that can touch the heart, and with God's grace and mercy can turn something around, like your testimony. Because that gives everybody hope that if he did it for you, he can do it for them.
Yeah.
And that's why our witness is so important. So important. So important. Anything else? "And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come now to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone" what? "From heaven a great light round and about me." What's he getting ready to talk about?
His conversion experience.
Right? I love this. "And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou?" I love this part, "Lord." Where did he get the Lord part at that time?
The spirit.
You get knocked down. You get knocked down with a light. It's got to be Lord. Huh? This is past your understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. You never experienced anything like that.
Mm-mm.
And if there's anything in you that's got any form of holiness or acknowledgement of a God, which was he not a Jew? Was he not studied?
Yes.
Right? Had he not heard about Moses? Had he not heard about burning bush? Had he not heard stories? Right?
Right.
Yes.
And so here this light come and boom, he get knocked over. I almost said Lord too, because in the natural, he has already, look how many times you think that he's talked about this, because what do? They recite and go over all of the time the things that God has done to them. For them and to them, right? So that's why he called him Lord. He recognized that. He knew that that was above his pay grade. Right?
That's correct.
He knew. "And I asked and said, Lord, and he said unto me, I am." Woo!
I am.
I am. You all that are Bible students, y'all know that there's a few I ams around with a lot of power to them, right?
Yes.
All right. "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light." Another testimony, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just telling you about the light. Mm-hmm. There were some more people around that could witness that there was a light. We can have a personal testimony, but this shows that you don't have to believe me. I got witnesses that the light was that bright and knocked me down. Saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke unto me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? What shall I do? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are what? What word y'all have there?
Appointed.
Everybody got appointed?
I have assigned.
Okay, I have an assigned, appointed, for thee to do. So, do you have an appointment? Do you have an assignment? Huh? Has a light come into your life? Your life?
Question.
Question.
It keeps coming to my mind because of Paul and all the stuff that he did. It seemed to me he was scared, he was frightened, and that's what caused him to change.
Well,
I mean, all of a sudden you see this light and all that. So I mean, was it because he was just scared into becoming a Christian because he had never, as opposed to because it was the right thing to do and the love of God and.
Well, you know. let's just look at the light. This light here, I want you all, what you have to do is you have to understand the context of this word light. In this context here, that's revelation. It's more than just the bright light, because, you know, he said a lot of them saw a brilliance, but they didn't hear the words that were spoken unto me. All right. People can sit in a service and a preacher can preach. You got some people going to hear one part of the message. Right. You're going to hear some people hear something else out of the message. Some people not going to get anything out of it. It doesn't change the light, but it does change the receptivity of those that the light has come upon. So I don't want you to look at it like maybe because you looked at that word they were afraid. That they were not only afraid, that was a reverential fear, because this just wasn't necessarily just all about a blinding light. This was something that they had never seen before. Because it was more than just lightning. Because it's not lightning, a flash of light.
Yeah.
And then the boom afterwards. This was something totally different. He said, and the difference was that I heard something out of the light and they didn't. They witnessed the fact that the revelation came, but they didn't hear verbatim what I got.
Well, this is almost probably the best way that it could be described, because you know how they say the Holy Spirit was like a dove. Well, it really wasn't a dove.
Right.
But trying to
describe
it as best they could, and you know, where people could understand, could be how folks miss the light.
Right.
You know, we just equate it with like the light outside, you know.
And then again, if you look at how a dove is floating like this, that could be like a flicker in a flame. There's a whole lot of ways that even when you go into Revelation, they talk about grasshoppers flying. Today, we think about helicopters.
Yep.
So I'm just saying the way that they perceive that, I want you to understand it wasn't just light. What happened and what was shown unto them was a revelation to them. And it wasn't that they were scared, but they did one of these numbers because it was that kind of light. It was so much revelation at that particular time, it knocked Paul out and then talked to him at the same time. So I don't want us to just think of it as just a flash. It was more than that. It was more than that. Okay? Does that kind of help a little bit?
And I'll say this, that the reason they didn't hear what Jesus said to Paul, because it wasn't for them. That was Paul's call.
Exactly.
Right.
So you may not hear the call that God has. I mean, I hear the call that God has for you, because it ain't for me.
Right. What you think? No. Okay. But I want us to meditate on some of this. God is going to speak to all of us according to our measure of grace. All right? We all have been given a measure of it. We all have different assignments. And so God is going to speak to you in a measure of what your assignment is. I get revelation all about revelation. I get evangelistic revelation. I get Christ revelation. Some people get spiritual revelation. They get to understand how the Spirit works, how it reveals God's words of wisdom and understanding to them, and that's their specific gift. Some people have pastoral callings, and so they have a heart of compassion and leadership. Okay, so when they get revelation, that's specifically geared for their particular call. Somebody could hear the exact same thing that God's talking. They say, I didn't understand that at all. But they did, because according to the assignment that God has set for their feet to go on, that's going to minister to them. Isn't that right, Portia? Because Portia got an anointing. Administration, but she also has that spirit of compassion. Long suffering, because she put up with me. So, but I'm just telling you, you know, we all have different gifts, but we all take our gifts and they all come together in the body. So when I look at Paul, I'm looking at a leader. Now, that light shined upon all them folk, but God talked to the leader, didn't he?
Right.
Because Paul was the one that was most zealous, right? Mm-hmm. He was the one that had the most knowledge. He had the most experience. He was out there. He was leading the pack, boy. Come on, let's go. Now, why would God go tap somebody that was just following everybody? Mm-hmm. That wasn't going to really make a big difference. Right.
No. Nope.
Because who's going to listen to the follower?
Yeah. Right.
Oh, all of a sudden, you know, you carry in the bag, and all of a sudden, you got this great revelation. Everybody like, really?
That makes sense.
Huh?
That makes sense.
Oh, all of a sudden, you got something? Why didn't they?
You're making me get excited. because this shows the awesomeness of God.
Right.
He knows who he wants
right.
to do certain things. So he's not going to choose. In other words, he's going to pick the cream of the crop.
Well.
He's not going to just, because this assignment.
The cream.
Or the plum of the crop. I don't know what I'm trying to say. He's going to pick the one he knows will be able to do what he wants okay. done. That's what I'm referring
person
to.
Person who's going to make a difference.
Right.
And yield it.
See, he knew, he's omniscient. He mm-hmm. knows everything. He's an awesome God.
Right.
Omniscient.
Yes.
So now, again, let me just, I'm glad you said that, because I want us to understand the reason that we are who we are is because God thought about us. Mm-hmm. He said, I knew you even before you were in your mother's womb. So God already had you figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And everything inside of you. So when is it going to come a time when you get to figure it out? It may be a Damascus Road time when you figure it out. Mm-hmm. Right? It could be that time you get arrested. It could be that time when you in Grady. It could be a lot of times. It could be that time when you at somebody's bedside mm-hmm. and you holding their hand. And all of a sudden, you get it. There's a lot of ways that it can come. You could be in a car accident and it come. It can, you know, that calling and information being imparted, and now all of a sudden you get to look back on everything and say,
Yeah.
Huh? Those different moments is when God taps in and said, there is a way to seem right, but this is the way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You've been going this direction. but now I'm going to show you the true way. All right? So I want us to look and always keep pulling out that the church was empowered to do what? To go get the lost. Is that not our job?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jesus came and said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. Is that not our assignment? To go into the highways and byways and hedges and compel them to come in.
Mm-hmm.
How do we compel them? Through our testimony, through our witness, through our preaching. Huh? Through our just giving what we've been given. Well, yeah, I guess I got to get back on here because I feel a preaching coming, but. That I appointed, what did you have? You had a sign for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, I know y'all got excited when y'all said that glory of the light, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could go back to, I got to cover your eyes. When Moses came back down, his face was so bright he had to put a veil on it. Boy, those were some powerful times, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, being in his presence so that your face lit up from being around him so much.
Free facelift.
Ooh, thanks, Elder. Appreciate that. That was good. That was good. I'll give you that one.
Thank you. I
give you that one. The glory of their light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus, and one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having what? A good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, what do you call him?
Brother.
Brother Paul. Brother.
so had a revelation took place.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yes.
Did he not know who
not
he
was? Not only that, the revelation had taken place with Ananias.
That's another one.
Yeah, he had to be prepared.
Oh, yeah.
So if you go back and look at the story of Ananias, you know, as I would paraphrase, God, are you sure this guy is one who killing these folks? Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
You sure you want to do this with this guy here?
Right, but
he's
what
going to kill us.
But what did he say?
Mm-hmm.
He acquiesced to it, didn't he?
Right.
Hmm. Not only that, the evidence was there. He had been doing all this, and now he blind,
mm-hmm.
which was evidence of the word that he had been given. Right.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "You go find him." Right. Well, when God tells you something, just take it to the bank. Lord, how's all this going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
It's not faith if he got to explain to you every little bit of detail.
Just do it.
How is it faith then when he got to give you point by point, blow by blow, to help you out?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Brother Saul, receive thy sight, and the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers have what?
Chosen you.
Now I'm going to tell you, assignment, you need to look up that word chosen and see how it's used through the Old and the New Testament. It will change your perspective. That word chosen. It will. So that's an assignment. You in class. I know you're looking up a lot of stuff and got your concordances out and your different versions of the Bible and y'all working through here and seeing what was going on in the area and the time and all of that. But look up that word chosen. Father has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will.
Mm.
Huh?
Yeah.
Why do we get saved? To know his will. Salvation is the basis of knowing his will. Y'all know the scriptures. You can't even see the kingdom of God,
mm-hmm.
until you get born again. Come on, Bible students.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Right. This revelation is not coming until the light comes. Right? You won't get it. That you should know his will and see that who? I got just one. Anybody else got anything different?
Just one.
I have righteous.
Okay. See, that righteous one. And should what? Hear the voice of his mouth. Is this not why this generation is doing what it's doing? Because it does not hear the voice of God. It hears the world because it belongs to the world. They got a loudspeaker. Mm-hmm. It's all on TV. Mm-hmm. It's all in the songs, right?
Yep.
It's all on the commercials.
It's all on social media.
Right now, every time I look at TV, sometimes I see all of the, now when I look, I see all of this other stuff that's flashing behind it.
Subliminal messages.
Yeah, this is the subliminal stuff. It's not just what you see, it's the messages that's behind what you see.
And it's affecting you.
Listen, by me being a car person, you know, and dealing with classics and stuff, there's not any book that has a car part in it that doesn't have a woman with a bikini.
Oh.
What does a woman with bikini have to do with a wrench?
Yeah.
Or a socket. No, I'm just...
Or a tire.
Or a tire. She said can't... Yeah. Corn flakes.
Cigarettes.
Hamburgers,
yeah.
A half-naked woman.
Yeah. I want you to understand that what we have is so important, especially in this time, because it's even more concentrated now than what was going on then. They were just steeped in tradition. Look at what we're steeped in now. This materialism and selfism is what has already ruined this nation.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about me. With all of the commercials, everything that you see, this whole California thing with the girls, they get in their little cliques, and each one want to be the top one, and then they abuse the other ones. It's horrible.